Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that each week you take the time to listen to these messages, these little seeds of faith. It's our prayer that these little seeds of faith will help you come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We've been here looking at the miracles of Jesus the last few weeks, the miracles of Jesus that he will rise from the tomb. I got to tell you, to be honest with you, this past week has been another one of those weeks in ministry. As I was driving home from another meeting, I thought to myself, God, I want to talk with you. Sunday is coming again, and I'm not ready, and I don't have enough time. Why are there 52 Sundays in a year? God, that's a lot of Sundays to read, write, prepare, and preach a message. As you can see, I was feeling like a little sorry for myself. I had a little pity party, is what was happening. My wife would say I was having a pity party. And when I have a pity party, she tells me that she's not invited and she's not coming to the party. I came home and told my wife I was tired and that there should not be 52 Sundays in a year. She told me that she had the same conversation with God that afternoon. She was having a pity party too. It's been really a super busy week for her, she said, and she was tired. Over dinner, my wife, Jacqueline, I call her Jack, Jacqueline told me almost the very same thing that I said to God. She told God that she was getting tired of laying her life down for him. He said, as soon as I said that, God told her, I never regret laying my life down for you. We sat at the dinner table and I had to laugh. And well, we both laughed at ourselves. If Jacqueline and I were having a pity party on the same day at the same time, I just wonder how many of you were throwing your own pity party. Pity party people. Maybe that should be today's message. Pity party people. We've been looking at the miracles of Jesus, and in just a few weeks, we're going to look at Jesus is risen and the tomb is empty forever. And then next week, we'll look at the miracle of Lazarus coming from the tomb. We've looked at four of the miracles recorded in John. We've looked at the miracle of water into wine. We heard the miracle of the royal official's son being healed from afar. We were amazed at the healing of a crippled man who laid on a mat for 38 years. Jesus asked the lame man, do you want to get well? John 5:6. Whew. Then we read the amazing story of the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 small barley loaves and 2 salted fish. It was really the feeding of maybe 15 or 20,000 people. Talk about a miracle. We spent some time with Jesus and his visits to Mary and Martha when we talk about Lazarus and how Jesus wept. Don't you ever think Jesus doesn't see you or care about you? Do you ever think that Jesus doesn't see you or care about you? Well, we're going to look today at another miracle. As I attended my pity party yesterday, I heard, Dave, Easter is coming. Easter is why there are 52 Sundays in a year. 52 Sundays, you are so very blessed to be able to proclaim the hope and power of the resurrection. And just like that, my pity party was over. Today, we're going to take a look at another of Jesus' miracles found in the Gospel of John. Let us look at the story found in John chapter 6. This miracle comes right after the feeding of, the 1,000 people, but there were a lot. Before we go to God's Word, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God of all creation, you call us to put all our hope and faith in you. Yet there are times when it is dark, and the waves and the storms of life come crashing in on us. Today, come into our lifeboat and still the storms that rage around us. May our eyes be open to see you today, and may our ears ever be ready to hear what the Spirit is saying as we read and study your living word. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in John chapter 6, 16 to 21. It's not a long reading, but a powerful reading. John 6, 16 to 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake of Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or maybe 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on water. They were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Well, if you're taking notes today, there will be 4 points in this message. I know, I usually try to keep it to 3 points in a poem. That's what my homiletics professor used to say, 3 points in a poem and get out of the pulpit. Well, today there's 4 points. 4 points. Jesus sends us. Jesus sees us. Jesus stills the storm around or within us. And Jesus saves us. Let me say it again. Even if you don't have paper and pen, it's good to know that Jesus sends us. Jesus sees us. Jesus stills the storms around or within us, and Jesus saves us. So let's look at the first point. Enter into this story for just a few minutes. Jesus and his disciples got up early in the morning and rowed the boat across the Sea of Galilee. They landed on the far side of the sea, well, around the town of Bethsaida. A very large crowd follows Jesus. Jesus has compassion on them and wants to feed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish from a young boy. Jesus blesses and breaks the loaves and fish, and 5,000 men plus women and children are fed, and there's 12 baskets of leftovers. Scholars do say that there were really probably more like 15 or 20,000 people counting the women and children. Enter into this story. We've just rowed over to Bethsaida. We're being followed by a huge crowd. Everyone is hungry. Jesus is breaking the bread and fish, and the disciples are running around handing out bread and fish to thousands of people. Can you imagine how tired the disciples are? Being tired must be one main ingredient for throwing yourself a pity party. The disciples have rowed their boats 6.5 to 7 miles across the Sea of Galilee, and after working in the hot sun from feeding 20,000 people, they finally get all done feeding the multitude, the people picking up the leftovers, and Jesus now sends them back across the sea to Capernaum. We are told it's evening. The disciples are tired. They've worked all morning rowing their boats. They've worked all afternoon, and now it's evening. And Jesus tells them to get in the boats and row back across the sea in the dark. Work, work, work. Is there anybody listening who feels the same way? Work, work, work. John does not tell us that Jesus told them to get in the boat. But in Mark's account, in Matthew's account, we read that it is Jesus who sends them. Matthew records it this way, quote, "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd," Matthew 14:22. This is a story of faith from beginning to end. Matthew 14:22 tells us Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. The word made could also be translated compelled, to compel by force or persuasion or constrain them. Kind of makes me think that just maybe the disciples were tired too. I do not know all the struggles, battles, confrontations, difficult situations, and fearful conditions you find yourself in and day out. I would like to suggest that sometimes it is Jesus who has sent you into the storms you face. Ooh. Let me say that again. I think sometimes it's Jesus who sends us into the storms we face. Not just a sidebar for a minute. Not all the storms we face in life are directly brought on by Jesus. We are human, and we definitely make our share of sins and mistakes that cause us pain and confusion. We also fight a common enemy of evil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy us, John 10:10. Maybe a good so what question here is, why would Jesus send his disciples out on the lake at night by themselves? Why does Jesus send us out into the dark at night? to face the storms of life while he's up on the mountain with God, having some UT quiet time with God. In youth group, we used to call that TAWG, T-A-W-G, time alone with God. Yep, there's the disciples working all day and night, and there's Jesus having some TAWG, time alone with God. Is our Lord saying to us, those of you who have decided to follow me as your Savior are going to be sailing your vessels in the winds of life. You're going to have trouble, but obey anyway. There are two ways to get into storms. One is to flee God's will, like Jonah did. A great storm blew up and he ended up in the belly of a fish. That is different from the disciples' situation. They were in the midst of a storm because they were obedient, not disobedient. Wow. Those of us who have decided to follow Jesus and give him all of our allegiance will face many contrary winds, no doubt about it. Point one, Jesus sends us into the storms of life. Point two, Jesus sees us. No matter what the storm is that you are facing, if Jesus sent you, Jesus sees you. And that even goes if you created the storm yourself by being disobedient. That's the beauty of the gospel, the good news. Jesus sees you in the storms of life. We are told in our story that Jesus sent the disciples back into the boat knowing there would be a storm. On the other hand, Jesus went up on a mountain to be alone with his Father. Are you in that story? We're tired. We've poured out all day and now we're headed to home, sweet home. We too need to spend time alone with God, but that is entirely a different sermon. Jesus up on the mountain with God as Father. Did you know that in Scripture, a mountain is often used as a symbol of place of authority? Jesus was up in a place of authority and he sees his disciples struggling. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, in person, if you can come, 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. But none of you can't come. You can join us on our live stream. Just go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and you can chat, you can offer up prayers, you can worship, you can grow in grace. Have you ever found yourself in a storm? Mark's account of this story tells us that Jesus saw them. Listen to how Mark tells the story and enter into it. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Mark chapter 6, 47 to 50. The Greek word for he saw, quote unquote, is a verb, and it means that Jesus, quote, understood, perceived, knew, paid attention, and saw them. What a powerful thought. Jesus knows. Jesus perceives, Jesus pays attention, and Jesus sees us in the storms of our life, and not just in one storm, but every storm we're in during our lifetime. That's a powerful thought. Not only are the disciples in a storm, but some scholars suggest that waves could have been up to 5 feet tall. There have been recorded 10-foot waves on the Sea of Galilee that caused damage to the modern-day town of Tiberias. We do not know how big the waves were. They could have been 3 feet or 10 feet. These were experienced fishermen. The water was sloshing into the boat, stroking all the disciples in the dark and the cold of the night. We are told that it was the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 in the morning. Enter Jesus. Jesus came to his threatened, frightened, and scared followers during the darkest part of the night. He was walking on the water. Jesus came to his disciples when they were exhausted, miserable, tired, and afraid. They were wondering if they were going to survive the storm. Can you relate? Only then did the Lord come. Boy, does that sound familiar to me. Take heart. Jesus sends us into the storms of life. Jesus sees us in the storms of our life. And now for a happy note, point three, Jesus stills the storm, or he stills the storm in us. Here comes the miracle. Jesus comes walking on the water. Now remember, the waves could be 3 feet tall. The lake is not calm. Jesus is not only a miracle winemaker. Jesus is not only a healer. Jesus is now a wave walker and death defeater. We just went to our grandchildren's league finals track meet. We watched them run, jump, and throw. What amazing athletic talent it takes to compete in running and field events. I thought wrestling was hard. I read the other day that you would have to sprint 67 miles an hour to actually walk on water. You hear me? You got to sprint 67 miles an hour. The fastest recorded foot speed is 27.79 miles an hour. 27.79 miles an hour by Jamaican Olympic gold medalist Usain Bolt. Remember, 67 miles an hour would require 15 more times the energy than the human body is capable of expanding or expending. Jesus comes up alongside the boat and says to his disciples, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading, John 6, 20 to 21. The Greek word for "it is I" is, quote, ego e me, E-G-O, and then the next word is E-I-M-I, ego e me, which translates, I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. I am in the burning bush. I'm in the fiery furnace with you. I'm in the lion's den with you. I am with you when you are swallowed by a big fish or facing a giant like Goliath. I am with you as you cross your Red Sea or Jordan River. I am who I am. Don't be afraid. Our son had a football coach who would always tell the boys when the game was getting difficult. He would say, quote, "I don't care how rough the waters are, just bring the ship home," end of quote. The waters were rough for the disciples, but with Jesus' help, the storm was stilled and they could bring the ship home. In an instant, the disciples' attitude changed 180 degrees from frightened and fearful to faithful disciples again. A moment before, they were fearing for their lives. Then they heard the voice of Christ. Note that he did not say, "Don't be afraid," before he said, "It is I am, ego eimi." When we focus upon Christ, we begin to find and receive help. There was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Paintings arrived from all over. Everyone wanted the prize. The day came to announce the winner. The king uncovered picture after picture: a calm lake, an ocean sunset, a flock of sheep on a grassy hill, blue sky with fluffy clouds, a lake with majestic mountains in the background. The king uncovered the last picture: rugged mountains, angry sky. It was raining and lightning. A waterfall tumbled down a cliff. It did not look peaceful, but it looked cold and penetrating. Deep in the painting was a little bird in a nest on a branch of a tree. The branch was leaning over the tumultuous waterfall. Yet there, in the midst of all the turbulence, sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Remember this: if Jesus sent you, Jesus sees you, and Jesus will either calm the storm like he did for the disciples in the boat, or Jesus will still you like his mother, like that mother bird did in her nest, safely hidden from the storm raging around her. Best news is point four: Jesus saves us. Missionary pilot Forrest Zander shared some of his experiences in a book titled "His Faithfulness Reaches to the Skies." That's the title of the book, "His Faithfulness Reaches to the Skies." And on one occasion, Zander and his co-pilot were crossing the Andes Mountains in Colombia, crossing at about 16,000 feet, which they were wearing their oxygen masks. As they watched the fuel gauges, he was alarmed to see the needles going down much faster than expected. There was a problem somewhere, and Zander still had the last three ranges of the Andes to cross. He needed to refuel, but where? No commercial airport was near, and an alternate airstrip were very rare. Having cleared the highest mountain peaks and passed the foothills on the eastern side, Zander quickly descended to preserve fuel and looked for a place to land. Then he spotted an airstrip right at the foot of the mountains. But what about fuel? Would they have any? Circling the airstrip, he saw containers of aviation-grade fuel, guarded by a contingent of armed soldiers. Drug dealers used the airstrip. Xander had no choice but to land, and he was immediately surrounded by guards with their guns. And when he explained the problem, the commander offered to give him the fuel. But as he refueled, a black storm cloud approached. The entire group of missionaries and soldiers fled to a protected area. It was a perfect setup. As the rain pattered and pounded on the roof, Xander read to the men from his Spanish Bible, sharing the gospel with them, and left the Bible for them to study. Xander wrote, "Then joyfully we departed, realizing again that our times are in the Lord's hands. Sometimes delays and problems are his ways of opening doors to new opportunities to love people and serve him." I remember when I was in my first call as a pastor in a rural church out in Missouri. A call to the church was a tough call. It was a long story, but for another day. After being in the ministry for a year, I was at my breaking point and ready to throw in the towel. I said to myself, "I gave everything to follow you, God, and this is it?" I was in the middle of a lake trying to row the ship home. It was dark. It was one of the darkest times I've ever experienced. I was sure that I was a failure and that the boat of ministry was going to sink. My wife and I went to Silver Dollar City in Branson to get away from everything one Sunday night. We were walking out of the park that night and we noticed people going into an outdoor amphitheater. We stopped a few people and asked them where they were going. They said every Sunday night they hold a concert outside, and this night it was a group by the name of Third Day. To be honest with you, I had never heard of the group, but we did not want to go home. I said to my wife, "Let's go." That was my introduction to Third Day. That was a life-changing night. At the end of the concert, Mac Powell, the lead singer, asked everyone to sit down. He gave a little gospel message. I remember him saying that some of you are going through tough times. I want you to have hope in Jesus. He said that he was going to sing a song called "My Hope Is You." He told us to sit and not stand until we really believe that our hope is Jesus. I think Jack, my wife, Jacqueline, jumped up pretty early. I sat there thinking about how dark it was, how difficult it was, and I was thinking that God had forgotten me. I listened to the words and began to cry. I finally stood and said to God, "My hope is you. I do not know where you are. You might be on the sunny side of a beach. If you are, enjoy. Drink it all in. You might be in the middle of the lake and the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing. You might be sitting in the dark and it seems to be getting darker. Remember, Jesus sends you. Jesus sees you. Jesus stills either you or your storm, and Jesus saves you." Wow. I encourage you to go listen to that song, "My Hope Is You." My prayer is that you'll stand and sing, "My Hope Is You." Let's pray. Lord God, we know that we don't always understand the times that we're in. And I ask right now that you'd minister your grace to those people that are in a storm. Come and meet them in person and let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that you're never going to leave them. You're never going to forsake them. That you'll always be with them. Light up their lives with your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. See you next week. God bless, and God loves you, and so do I.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.